to a lesser extent, they go to O&M on the academic buildings. They go to the libraries to support the libraries. They go to the support for the institutional support, which is essentially the everything from the deans and to the payroll function, the accounting function for the university. So the business functions of the university. So that's the focus of state and tuition dollars is going towards the instruction effort. I wanted to concentrate just a couple of seconds on this idea of faculty competitiveness. This is the IBHE peer comparison for Urbana, Chicago, and Springfield. At the top, the top screen is basically a 21 peers that that they have IBHE as for Urbana. It's a combination. It's primarily actually private universities. If you look to the top of the screen, and it's based on a $150,000 top scale, but the number one is Columbia. Number two is Chicago. Probably about the eighth one down there is Northwestern. With Urbana in that 20th spot. Essentially, Michigan's about three spots ahead of Urbana on that chart. But most of those first dozen schools are all private schools. The last one is Wisconsin, and our effort is basically to try to keep pushing that up the scale, as far as our peers. As far as Chicago, ranking 11th out of 22, comparison, we have. Number one in that chart would be Maryland in comparison to Chicago. Again, this is the IBHE, Virginia Tech would be the school right in front of UIC as far on this chart. So just to give an idea of where we stand as far as our peer comparison. And then for purposes of Springfield, again, 12th out of a field of 14, number one in that list, and the scale goes to 90,000, but the number one, in mostly private schools, is Union, is the first one in that category. If we've looked at these through 2010, if we do have a with a 9.5% increase in tuition, the amount of supplemental financial aid will go from $35.8 million to $42.3 million, about a $6.5 million increase in supplemental financial aid as a result of the actions if you approve a 9.5% tuition increase. You can see that the prior year, the increase was only about $2.3 million, and again, that relates to the 2.6% increase we had in the prior year, so that's why there's a much bigger jump between 2010 and 2011. There's a lot of talk about this is the when we approve this tuition. This is the sticker price for tuition at the University of Illinois. Almost half of the full-time undergraduates at the University of Illinois pay less than the sticker price. In Urbana, about 15,600 students pay less than the sticker price. Or about 46% of the undergraduates at Urbana are paying less than the sticker price. At Chicago, about 9,100 students are paying less than the sticker price, or about 55% are paying less than the sticker price at Chicago. And in Springfield, it's 1,800 students, which is almost 70% of the students are paying less than the sticker price. And where do we come up with besides these? This is all gift. This is Pell. This is supplemental financial aid. This is MAP. These are all the sources that waivers. These are all the things that draw down the sticker price that students use to basically for these results. Getting to the numbers themselves, already the board has approved at the January and March meetings the fee increases on a semester basis, including a fee increase at Urbana, $39 on a semester basis, Chicago, $19, and at UIS, $64. Again, approved in previous meetings. If we look at the suggested 9.5% increase on the next slide, The increase that on a semester basis again would be $451 at Urbana for a total on a semester basis for tuition of $5,193. At Chicago, $396 on a semester basis to a total of $4,567. And at Springfield, which is really actually calculated on a per credit hour, but it calculates out to $353 a semester to $4,054. Again, this is a 3.66 on an annual basis increase. And again, this is the four-year guarantee. The last slide I have for you is essentially the rack-up for everything for the incoming student, the incoming fall student for next year. A total increase, including tuition fees and room and board already approved by the board, of a total increase at Urbana of $691 on a semester basis, which is about 6.5% overall. At Chicago, an increase of $689 in total. That's tuition, fees, room and board. Again, a total increase of about 6.5%. And at UIS, an increase of $517, or an increase of about 5.4% over fiscal year 2010. Again, this will be item number 19A this afternoon when it's brought before you for consideration.
Questions?
Walter, one of the items being discussed for the state budget, which probably will pass, is extending the lapse spending period from August to December. I assume that will hurt us in getting our money.
It's another thing to stay awake at night about. As I say, if we're starting July, whatever they do pass, we're going to start billing again. And so if we are at $375 million and we bill at about a rate of about $75 to $80 million a month, you can just see that receivable growing and growing. But what we're saying here is that $375 million receivable, it used to be that the state would have had 2 months. They would have had 2 months elapsed period in order to pay that off, or you might be looking at a very tough collection problem. Now the state is dealing with this two-month period, and knowing that they basically have a tremendous cash flow problem, is that they're going to extend the lapse period, it's called the lapse period, from the 2 months to 6 months to give themselves an additional 4 months to try to pay off the bills. I think that is something that's being discussed as part of a budget implementation, and it's a big concern. It's just kind of like, okay, we'll just extend the lapse period. That's a resolution. We have to deal with that too.
My question was similar to Trustee Hassar's. Our university fiscal year starts 1 July, correct?
Yes, sir.
State fiscal is 1 October?
It's the same, July 1st.
Oh, okay. Because you mentioned that last year the deficit was finally met by the state after July 1. And my question was, what's the best guess is if that's going to happen again this year? To the tune of $380 million?
I think, frankly, the fact that they passed a piece of legislation that allows you to borrow is basically giving you a very negative signal about being able to pay it. I think it kind of goes hand in hand very doubtful that they're going to be able to pay off that receivable in 2 months or 6 months. And again, because of the way they structured this borrowing program, you can only borrow against your 2010 activity, against your 2010 receivable, your fiscal year 2010. It's not, and it's limited to 75% of whatever your receivable is at the end of the year. So that just sends off a negative signal to me about the ability to pay.
And then on your last presentation, could you go back to your fourth slide? Would that be possible?
Sure. On the tuition?
No. On the tuition presentation, mm-hmm. Your fourth slide.
Yes.
That's the competitive.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah, I just wondered if this data was ever looked at in terms of, say, cost of living. For instance, I think UIUC, you said that number one on the list to the far left was Columbia. I'm guessing the cost of living in New York is significantly higher than it is in Champaign.
I just read off the ones just for Urbana. The first one's Columbia, second one's Chicago, Yale's three, Pennsylvania, NYU, Duke, Northwestern, Wash U in St. Louis, UC Berkeley, UCLA, John Hopkins, Brown. As we work our way down, so you can see the and again, this is an IDHE peer group that they put Urbana in that, but you're right. Those for all schools located in areas with a high cost of living.
Large metropolitan areas.
But there, and of course, the predominance of private.
Not that I want to belittle that data, but you know, it might put it in a little bit of a different context.
Right, and there, as I think Professor Campbell indicated earlier, there are a whole number of factors, salary being one, fringe benefits being the other, but probably, to be honest, the quality of the colleagues that you're going to join is probably more important, or just as important as these other things. So it's a big package. But on the other hand, the weakness in competitiveness is something. Salary competitiveness is still something that we've got to pay close attention to, and we've been losing ground there over the last, certainly the last half a dozen years, arguably longer than that. So we've got to find a way to begin to turn that around.
Pam?
I just have one other question regarding the overall cost of going to the university. So the tuition and fees, room and board, none of that would include the cost of textbooks, would it?
No.
That's on top of that?
Yes.
For are there other forms of aid available for families to cover textbooks, or is that just, can math grants be applied to whatever the expenses are that the families
I guess, you know, even if it's the Pell Grant, I mean, I think we probably take it on a first in, first out, you know, basis, but, you know, they probably apply it to tuition. But that, in theory, could also be used for textbooks, you know, Pell Grants.
Yeah. They could apply.
I just know anecdotally that is a very large expense as well.
Yeah.
Can be.
Somebody, I'll answer this question, but I shouldn't. Somebody back there, maybe Doug, you pop up and answer it. I think, for example, the Pell Grant is, or maybe Mina, you're the appropriate one, but I think the Pell Grant is can be used for the full range of expenses.
Yes, it can. It can be used for living expenses as well as educational expenses. Mm-hmm. But there's an upper limit on the Pell Grant. I'm not familiar with the number off the top of my head, Barbara.
It's about $5,000.
$5,000 or $6,000. Yes. So. And that's where the supplemental aid that the university is providing on the MAP side of it, right? When the MAP can only go so far toward our tuition, so we're supplementing that. Generally, the aid is, unless you're at the very low end, the neediest, there's sufficient aid. The middle class is more where the squeeze, like you're talking about, or the books. And that's where they get more to an alternative loan type of approach for that, unless the parents or students can afford it out of some other.
In a subsequent meeting, we probably ought to come back to the whole student aid question. A whole area that I think is very important relates to work study, and that is income that students have, but it also frequently gives them some wonderful experience to go along with it. So we might come back at some future point to see if we could paint what this full picture looks like.
Any further questions?
I have one. If we just wanted to keep up with the rate of inflation, that is, preserve the buying power of any current year's tuition, how much would we have to raise the tuition every year, given the four-year guarantee?
Well, I mean, if we use a CPI of roughly 3.5, I mean, we're almost there with the number we're talking about. If what we recommended here, it works out to 3.6%. So it's roughly that.
And if we're preserving 15% of this to reinvest in scholarship programs or like-kind activity, this is barely covering the rate of inflation, is that right?
That's correct.
So plus, we're going to have to do that every year then.
Well, plus
to keep up with inflation.
Plus, to some degree, we're behind because we have not kept up with inflation in some previous years too. Mm-hmm. So that's on top of that.
Right, and the state's reduced its direct funding, the state's reduced its scholarship funding, and the state's reduced its pension funding.
That's right. Any further questions, comments? Yes, sir.
There are a couple of things that were not said, but were, I think, even on the board one, related to what you just said, Chairman Kennedy. Another thing that's no longer funded with the state is veterans grants. The state law still requires that public universities give free tuition to veterans, and yet they quit funding that program three or four years ago. So that's income we never realized. So when we do income projections, we don't get that money. It's particularly difficult, hard to live with right now because the Feds changed their veterans grant program so that they almost cover everything. But they don't quite cover everything, and so our veterans are still choosing to take the Illinois free tuition program over the federal program. And I noticed in one of Craig's slides,